On this day, 20 years ago, David Petraeus was Major General in command of the Army's 101st Airborne Division, storming towards Baghdad to topple dictator Saddam Hussein, based on dubious claims that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, which turned out to be false. Petraeus did not meet much military resistance. The general famously wanted to win the hearts and minds of Iraqis, but that proved much more difficult than the invasion, despite a surge of troops into Iraq that Petraeus led. The 8-year-long war ended in 2011. 200,000 Iraqi civilians died, along with 4,487 American troops. A colonel at the Pentagon recently told NPR Pentagon reporter Tom Bowman that the war was, quote, the worst strategic decision in U.S. history. Petraeus joins us now to talk about the war. General, welcome to Here and Now.
Good to be with you, Deepa. Thank you.
General, take us back. Describe what your day was like 20 years ago today. What memories do you have of the day?
Well, what's interesting is that we thought probably to the last minute that Saddam Hussein would capitulate, that he would remember what had transpired in Kuwait some years earlier in the Gulf War, which of course ended terribly for him and his army, and that he would ultimately accept the UN inspectors back in, resolve the issues of weapons of mass destruction. And of course, by the way, you know, you said those were dubious claims. This was an accepted intelligence assessment over several administrations. And I served in the Pentagon during the Clinton administration for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And again, it was accepted at that time, obviously proven completely wrong, and one of the enormous regrets, I think, that we obviously have to have about that.
Yeah. I have to ask you, General, there were some who were questioning the rationale about weapons of mass destruction. Do people in your position get to hear that, or are you hearing?
No, I mean, that was internal to the intelligence community. Obviously, having years later been the CIA director, I now understand some of the debate that was going on, but that was not something that we knew about. In fact, we had WMD experts with us in our 101st Airborne Division Task Force who were going to identify those when we located them. And the question was, where would they be, not would they be?
So, you know, now that you look back and when you hear a U.S. Army colonel call the invasion of Iraq the worst strategic decision in U.S. history, as a commander who led troops to fight that war, how do you react? How does that make you feel?
Well, I've got a number of emotions today, actually, and I'll leave that to the colonel and the historians to argue about where that stands in terms of miscalculations. But, you know, first of all, there's a considerable degree of sorrow. There was a lot of loss of life over the past 20 years, Americans, coalition, and especially Iraqis, a number of others with serious wounds. There's regret over some of the mistakes and missteps along the way. There is a disappointment that our high hopes and the hopes of the vast majority of Iraqis for their country after we toppled the murderous regime of Saddam Hussein have yet to be fulfilled. There's gratitude, you know, for the extraordinary service of our men and women in uniform, and there's a degree of pride in what it is that they achieved, and frankly, a sense of gratitude to have served with our men and women in uniform. It was the greatest privilege of my life, really, and noting that all of them were volunteers, of course.
You were famously reported to have said to a journalist, "Tell me how this ends."
It was actually after the Battle of Najaf when I called my boss and I said, "Boss, we have good news and bad news. The good news is we own Najaf. The bad news is we own Najaf. What do you want us to do with it?" All of the local officials and security forces had all melted away. And it was clear to me then that the way we'd been told this was going to unfold was likely not going to be the case.
Yeah. And we're hearing over this past weekend, this week, a lot of different reports coming out of Iraq about the state of the country 20 years later. And I have to tell you that an old sheikh in Baghdad told us here at NPR that the United States basically ruined our country. And that's a quote. Do you think it was worth it, sir, in the end?
Again, I will leave that question to others. I wrote far too many letters of condolence to America's mothers and fathers, but frankly, the fact that I will leave that to others obviously does provide some insight as to that. I do think also that we do need to be a bit careful not to forget how murderous Saddam Hussein was. I mean, this is someone for whom we had no-fly zones in the northern and southern part of the country for many, many years. And I think more accurate would be to describe Iraq now as the way an Iraqi did actually to another journalist, which was to say that Iraq is freer, but is less hopeful. I'm not willing to write it off yet.
Yeah. Let me ask you, sir, you inherited the situation by the time you took over in 2007, and the whole situation had disintegrated, a civil war had developed, and you oversaw that first surge of soldiers. Two presidents since have repudiated both the war and the surge. But some credit you with bringing the country back from the brink of civil war by focusing on securing the population. But the problem is you can't secure a country without essentially an occupying army. My question to you, sir, is do you think the U.S. should do this? Should we invade and occupy another country?
Well, I mean, it's just an open-ended general question. I think we should think very, very hard about it before we do it, needless to say. I mean, look, Iraq has been a massive cautionary tale for us and also for the kinds of hopes that we, again, had. The idea of bringing democracy and so forth to the Middle East proved more than difficult, to put it mildly. These kinds of wars in particular are especially challenging. A counterinsurgency campaign is not just attacking and defending, which we do exceedingly well. It's obviously a host of other tasks that come under the heading of nation building and so forth. And that was necessary. And we did bring Iraq back from a civil war. We did help the Iraqis get this fabric of society back together, only to see it torn apart, sadly, 3.5 years after the surge, when the prime minister pursued highly sectarian actions and really set the stage also to allow the Islamic State to reconstitute.
With great respect, back to you, sir, I'd have to say there's probably a lot of people listening thinking Iraqis didn't ruin Iraq. The United States had a lot to do with that in the last 20 years.
Well, I think that they would agree that the Iraqis have had a great deal to do with that as well. Again, I acknowledge we made a number of mistakes, not the least of which was the basis for the invasion, the intelligence assessment about weapons of mass destruction that turned out to be wrong. We then fired the Iraqi military without telling them what their future was and how they'd provide for their families. But there's no question about the magnitude of the difficulties, the challenges, and the rest of that. And clearly, we have to think very, very long and hard. And ideally, we do these kinds of operations, if they are necessary, in an advise, assist, and enable role, as we did actually when we went back in.
You said at the outset of the surge that you wanted to win the hearts and minds of Iraqis. Have you been back to Iraq lately, sir? Would you feel comfortable walking down the street in Baghdad today?
I haven't been back since COVID. I would, actually, yeah. In fact, my diplomatic partner, Ryan Crocker, is back there right now, I believe. I've been invited back. In fact, the prime minister, when I met him in February in Munich, invited me back as well. But I haven't been back since COVID. And I'd love to get back to Baghdad and to see many old friends.
And you mentioned having to write letters to mothers, to parents whose children served and died. And I can only imagine what that feels like. And as you know, people here feel very strongly about this war. I can't imagine a parent who lost a child in this war listening and thinking it was a failure of a war. I'm wondering, do you have uncomfortable encounters with people about the failure of the war?
You know, I have not actually. I've had a lot of parents come up, including Gold Star mothers and fathers, who talk about that their sons and daughters feeling committed, volunteering. Interestingly, many of those who are seriously wounded often would say, I'd do it all again. Again, this is something that was very special. And if you were not part of it, it's hard to convey the essence of what I said earlier, which is that I felt it was a huge privilege to serve with these individuals who volunteered at a time of war, felt that they were serving a mission larger than self, felt privileged to do it with others who felt the same way, and actually, by and large, were deeply appreciated for their service by the American people, even if the people disagreed in some cases with the missions that we were implementing. So this is complex. And again, it's hard to fully appreciate it if you haven't been part of what is termed the brotherhood of the close fight, if you will. And of course, there are women as part of that brotherhood, needless to say, as well.
Former General and CIA Director David Petraeus is a partner at the global investment company Kohlberg Kravis Roberts and chairman of the KKR Global Institute. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us on Here and Now.
The privilege is mine, Deepa. Thank you.